Our Father in heaven, we see the very full extent of your love and how you showed us as you went to the cross, as you gave your life, an extension of love, Father, to every one of us. And we are eternally grateful. In the name of Jesus, amen. We have children's church this morning? Okay, well now's a good time to go if you'd like to go to children's church. As we open God's Word this morning, I would ask you to bow as we pray. Father, your Word, as it goes forth, as a promise, that it will not return void, but will always accomplish the purpose for which it went. And so, Father, I pray that you have our undivided attention this morning as we bring your message, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In September of 1996, Carol and I had a family visit and spend a week with us. They were missionaries, a man and his wife, from Mexico. After their first night, the next morning they got up and the lady said that she would like a glass or cup of hot tea. And so Carol got a cup of water, put it in the microwave, and started to boil it, to warm it. And the lady said, "Oh no, God told me that you shouldn't microwave anything because you change the molecular structure of what God has made." So she took it out of the microwave, put it on the stove, and warmed it up, as though that didn't change the molecular structure. All you're doing is exciting the molecules in the first place. This lady said that God told her that, and I would presume that if God told her that you shouldn't use a microwave, then that ought to be published. And Christians shouldn't use a microwave to warm anything. But you know what? I don't know who she was listening to, but God didn't tell her that. But I'll tell you this, that everybody knows that God speaks. The Old Testament is full of God's Word, as he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, as he spoke to Noah and told him how to build an ark, as he spoke to Abraham and told him to take his son up and sacrifice him on the mountainside, as he spoke to Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, as he spoke to Joshua and said, "You're taking over, and I want you to lead them forward." As he spoke to David, we have Psalms that are written as God spoke to him. As he spoke to the prophets and to many others in the days of old. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke directly to many, many, many people who followed him. Paul has spoken the words that God gave him. The gospel writers have spoken those words. John, the gospel writer, we have those, we talked about them this morning, words from the Lord. He spoke to many others. He speaks to us today. He overwhelms us with his word. And so he is a God who speaks to us. The sad news is that every one of us, every person who was ever born from the time of Adam, was born spiritually deaf. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't hear. As we get older, like me, we have to have hearing aids to help us. And as we continue to get older, then my wife says, have you got your hearing aids in? Yes, I do. And so we get harder of hearing. We have no problem when we're born of hearing everything and anything and everybody and anybody, whatever is going on, millions of things that we hear, birds, the wind blowing, the leaves rustling, people talking, cars running, engines running. We hear everything. But we are spiritually deaf and we don't hear God. The very one, the very thing that we should hear, we do not hear. And so we have these two realities in our life. One is that God speaks, and the second is we don't hear. We just don't hear. If somebody said to you, well, I think that the Bible is a bunch of fairy tales, what would you say to them? Well, your life may show that you think it is a bunch of fairy tales, the way you live your life, as though it really isn't the Word of God. We can say, well, the prophets were the ones who heard the Word in old days, and those don't really apply to us anymore. That's not God's Word for me. And yet we're in church this morning, and every Sunday morning, many of us, and a preacher delivers the message from the Lord, and you say you listen to God. In fact, as you can look around to your left or right, and you say, I'm listening, I'm sure he's listening. Well, who are all these people that don't listen? Because there are many, many Christians who have become spiritually deaf. Well, is it a certain type of people or a certain nation or nationality or race? I mean, I would guess that Pakistan may be, 1% Christian? Do they not listen to God? And we do in America? Maybe it's people from New England that don't listen to the Lord, but we do in Texas. Or maybe it's people who have been trained in seminaries who listen to the Word and others don't. I can tell you this, that it doesn't matter what denomination that you belong to, what church you belong to, who you are. As a Christian, you may be spiritually deaf. You can be an Armenian, which some of you may not know this, but an Armenian says, I am in charge of my own destiny, and not hear the Lord, be spiritually deaf. You may be a Calvinist and say, God is sovereign and God is in charge of my destiny, and be spiritually deaf. And so spiritual deafness is in all kinds of people, everywhere on the face of this earth, even in this body of people right here. Well, Christ says that we need to be very careful about to whom we listen. There are a lot of pastors who do not speak the truth. They're on the radio, they're on TV, they're in churches all around us. You better be careful, Jesus says, to whom you listen. There's a lot of books out there that are holy books. We have the Book of Mormon, we have the Quran, other Bibles. And we have our scriptures, and we just take it for granted that the Bible is the one that we watch, the one that we look at, the one that we read. And so we have to be careful, because there is a lot of writings out there that are absolutely full of heresy, that are not the truth. And so we have to be careful. There's preachers say, just listen to me. I'll tell you how you ought to live your life. I'll tell you how to spend your money. I'll tell you to whom you should marry. I'll tell you where you should go to school. I'll tell you what kind of music you should listen to. Be careful, my friend, because there's a lot of people out there trying to deceive you, and you need to be able to identify those who are speaking the truth and those who are not. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, and that means you, or anyone that you're listening to, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's the person to whom we should listen to. I would tell you this, that I think it's a sin. It's immoral to listen to a heretic. And there's a lot of them out there, and we listen to a lot of them. Don't listen to them. Look at the man's life. Look at what he says, and see if what he says and what the way he lives matches God's word. Then you could consider listening to him. And so there's another command about listening carefully. We should be careful how we listen. Jesus says that in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Therefore, Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even if he thinks he has, he will be taken away from him. Jesus says, be careful to whom you listen. And so that takes me to the scripture this morning that we will be looking at. It's a parable that Jesus taught about a farmer who was sowing seeds. And the scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. I know you're all familiar with it. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And then the next thing Jesus does is explains this parable. He explains that God is the sower, and the soil is our hearts. And God sends out his seed, and it hits our hearts. And the question is, what happens? What kind of heart? What kind of land? What kind of soil? What kind of field or garden do you have? It can fall on a person's life that has been trampled and is downtrodden, and the birds come and peck it away. A man hears the word and he reads the word of God, but because he has a hard heart, it just doesn't get in. You come to church, you go home, you take a nap, you get up, and you have no idea what the preacher preached about that day. No idea. Other people have very shallow responses. This is the second type of soul. You immediately have some kind of an emotion and you feel excited about what God's saying to you, and you say, I'm going to get better, God. But it doesn't get rooted into your life, and it has a shallow response. Not long after that, those resolutions that you made to change your ways are forgotten. A shallow initial response. Someone else comes along and the word comes to his mind, but he's so filled with the things of the world that he just doesn't have time. There's so many cares that he has. You know, some of you this morning may be sitting here thinking about other things other than God or his word or what message he has for you. Spiritual deafness. Of course, then there's the fourth type of soil or heart that has been plowed, and it's ready, and it's fertile, and it's soft, and you can throw the seed onto it, and it bears fruit maybe 100 times, maybe 60 times, maybe 30 times. And so the person to whom you listen and the way that you read the Bible are significant and determined, I believe, in how these seeds end up producing fruit. I don't think that there's any one of you would listen to somebody that says, Jesus wasn't God, he's just a man, he was a good teacher. I don't think you'd go out of your way to listen to him. I would hope not. We have to be very careful about who we allow to speak up here. We want them to speak the truth. It's not important certainly it is, but it's not that important, how dynamic or forceful or powerful or professional or how eloquent his words are. He needs to speak the truth. Last week we had John DeSario speak, and he spoke the truth. So he could be invited back. In fact, he will speak next. He will speak on the 20th, 2 weeks from today. He will speak the truth to us. We wouldn't have somebody that would come up here and say, I'm going to teach you about another kind of Jesus. I'm not going to preach to you from the Bible. We would run him off. He would be a heretic. We would not listen to him. Did you know that Christianity is the only religion in which their God speaks to people? No other religion does God speak to people. The Psalm says that there are idols that people worship. These idols have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. They have feet that don't move. They have bodies that don't work. They have, they're worthless. But God is different. So if we claim to be a follower of Jesus, you're saying that you belong to the God who has a mouth, and a God who speaks. And you claim, if you claim to follow him, you'll say you belong to a religion that always begins with a miracle. Always begins with a miracle. And that miracle is the ability to hear God speaking. This deafness, the spiritual deafness, is replaced with the ability to hear. Remember when John the Baptist was imprisoned and he sent his disciples back to Jesus? And he said, are you the one who has come? Or should we expect somebody else? Here I am, I've been backing you and proclaiming the kingdom and having people repent. I'm in prison. Are you really the one? And what did Jesus say? He said, you go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. That's a description of a Christian. We were blind, but now we see. We were deaf, but now we hear. We had leprosy, but now we have been purified. Our sin has been cleansed from us. We were dead, but now we are alive. Last Wednesday, we studied in our Bible study a verse, John chapter 10, verse 27, which says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And so I have to say that if you are his sheep, then you will know his voice, and you will follow him. So it's important to understand how we listen as much as it is to whom we listen to. So sometimes we need to just stop and ask ourselves, how are we doing about listening? Do we have a hunger for God? Do we want to hear the word? As you get older, we become hard of hearing. In 1972, before I was a Christian, but I was in church, a pastor came to speak a revival at Marshall Baptist Church in San Antonio. And he spent that week living with Carol and me and John and Jill. And we would sit after dinner and talk about a lot of things, and he told me that, I remember him saying this very plainly, he said, you know, many people are Bible hardened. They have heard it so many times in their life that it has no meaning to them. They learn nothing new. You know, they don't have the love for others that they used to have. They don't seem to have the faith that they used to have. It's as though their ears are deaf. There are a lot of young people in this group this morning that are anxious to hear and learn what God has to say. I think about Aaron and Jordan. I think about Andy and Rachel, Joe and Colleen, Scott and Leah, Travis and Kim and Conley and Rebecca and others, Katie, young people, Marie, Michael, Elizabeth, Anthony, Zach, anxious to hear what God has to say. Their hearts are, their minds are open. They want to hear, they want to learn, and they will hear, and they will learn. You know, a farmer who takes a kernel of corn and puts it in the ground, watches it grow and become a corn stalk. And a typical corn stalk has two or three ears of corn. I've never seen one with three, but I've seen millions of them with two ears of corn. Any idea how many kernels are on an ear of corn? It depends on the variety, but you know, I can ask my phone, it has all the answers. Somewhere between 500 and 700 kernels. So let's take two ears of corn, and let's take 500 kernels. That's a 1,000-to-1 ratio. When the seed is planted, it produces 1,000 kernels of corn. I wonder in our lives, what one sermon, God's word, God's seed going into your heart, into your spirit, one sermon, or maybe one Bible study, or maybe one quiet time, or maybe one devotion, or maybe listening to one radio preacher speak, what impact, what is the return God gets on your life from that? I can tell you that my ears are stopped up a lot. I can listen to 10 sermons, read 10 books, have 10 devotions, and maybe have one seed that comes back. You think God's happy with that? Well, maybe it's me. Maybe I shouldn't be up here preaching. Maybe I shouldn't be teaching a Bible study on Wednesday night. Maybe I shouldn't be an elder. Maybe I am a detriment to this church. Maybe I should go somewhere else. See if I could serve better there. No, I need to open my ears and hear. I'll tell you how you open your ears. You don't listen to somebody else. You know, a lot of people say, well, what do you believe about this? Well, my preacher said, what did God say? Check it out. There's a lot of things that are set up here that you need to check out. A lot of things are not always come out exactly the way you would understand. If you come to church once a week and you never open God's word in the other 6 days, you're not listening to God at all. You're not hearing Him. He's overwhelming you with seed. It's falling on a hard heart. It's falling on a heart that's shallow. It's falling on a heart that's so crowded out by the cares of this world that there's no impact. Nothing happens. And so you become like a cow. Follow the leader. If you ever drive down the road and you see cows walking, there's a leader and all the other cows are just following right behind each one. Where they're going, the cows behind, they don't know. They're just following the one in front of them. They don't know. I also say that when you say, well, my preacher said this, that you're like a parrot. You just repeat what you've heard. Quack, 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 quack. Hello, hello. Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker. You haven't learned anything. God is not speaking to you if all you can do is repeat what somebody else has told you. And so there's not going to be any fruit. When was the last time that you opened God's Word and God spoke to you and there was an impact on your life? I can tell you this, that listening to God's Word will change you, or you will change God. Always happens, one of the two ways. Either His Word is going to have an impact on you, and you're going to say, wow, I didn't know that. I want that to change me. Or you're going to say, nah, that's not my God. You know, you can say to yourself, I'm going to commit this sin. I'm going to go down this road, take the steering wheel from the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to drive down this road, and I'm going to sin. I'm going to do it because God's not going to kill me today. He's not going to punish me today. And so we're changing God. We are making Him fit what we want to work in our lives. And we become deaf. You know, God changed Abraham. He said, Abraham, take your only son. Your only son, I want you to go up and sacrifice him. Abraham could have said, no, that's not my God. He would never do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stay here. Everything will be okay. Well, he didn't try to change God, but God changed him. He took the son up and offered him as a sacrifice. Another way that you can improve your spiritual hearing is to guard against what doesn't produce fruit. God showers us with His spiritual seed all the time, all the time. And so when you listen to a pastor, or when you read your Bible, or when you listen to Christian radio, or whether you're in your devotion, or in Bible studies, or even talking to other Christians, all of the seed, the Word of God, the seed is falling on your heart. But it's possible that most of that seed doesn't regenerate and doesn't produce a crop at all. Especially true with Christians. Especially true with Christians. And we look at our own lives and we see that it's full of, it's like a field that has not been planted in 2 or 3 years. It's fallow. It's left on its own so that the minerals and the things that are needed for a good crop can regenerate. But what happens is it grows up in weeds, grasses, and gets hard. And if you were to go out and try to plant something on it, if you were to go out here and scatter seeds on the soil, do you think many of them would grow? I don't think so. So God says, I want you to take your life, which is very hard, and I want you to plow it up. I want you to get rid of the sin that's in your life. I want you to begin to spend more time with me and less time with you. I want you to get a hoe and hoe those weeds out. You may need a shovel to get the rocks out of your life. You may even need a stick of dynamite. Some of those things may be very stuck and very hard to overcome. But you got to clean it up. And that's how you begin to listen. When you begin to get the stuff that stops you from listening out of your life so that you can hear God's. And so our lives are like a garden or a field that hasn't been plowed in a long time. So we've been reluctant to come to church. We've been negligent in opening the Word. We spend all of our time doing our thing. Our lives and our soul and our heart gets very hard. So how do you plow up the field so that it's fertile? You take God's Word, what He gives you, and you get alone with Him, and you say, you know what? That's a problem in my life. And I really do want to change it, but I can't change it on my own. And so you plead with God, and you cry out to Him, Lord, I know that I'm in error here. I know that I'm a sinner. I need you to help me overcome, to get this out of my life. And you know what? God will. He will plow up your life so that the weeds are gone, the rocks are gone, that the soil is fertile, and that it is taken and it produces fruit. At least one seed, maybe 30 times, maybe 60 times, 100 times, heaven forbid. Last week we had a visiting pastor, John DeSario. He preached a sermon. He gave us a message from the Lord, right out of God's Word, a scripture and a lesson. Do you remember what he preached? Was there any fruit that resulted in your life when God's Word went forth? He preached about obstacles that keep you from following the Lord. And so, maybe we are spiritually deaf. Maybe we don't hear. Maybe we don't listen. I always get it confused, the word hear and listen. You hear, but you're not listening. Or is you're listening, but you don't hear. Whatever it is, it's not producing fruit. God's Word does go forth, and it always accomplishes that for which it went forth, that purpose for which it went forth. It doesn't always mean that if it goes forth, it's going to convert a person, they're going to become a Christian. There's always another purpose. Maybe it's to show you just how spiritually deaf you are and how spiritually deaf I am. So we will plead with God to help us in our own lives, in our own areas, to overcome the sin, to overcome those things that make our hearts hard. I would ask the praise band to come up at this time. And I would say to you to not get used to not hearing God. Don't be satisfied with what you're not hearing. You can change that. I prayed this morning that He would have your undivided attention. You can't be thinking about things of this world and what you're going to have for lunch and how you're going to pay the bills and whether it's going to rain or not and whether it's too cold or hot in here. That is giving God divided time. He gets part of your time. The world gets part of your time. And so, it's time that we ask God to change our heart to the one that listens and changes you. We sing a song that's changed my heart, O God. That's what our prayer should be, not how can I change you to fit my life. Join me in prayer. Father, your word is always powerful and true. And as it goes forth, Father, it does accomplish that for which it went, the very purpose for which it went. And I would hope, Father, that hearts would be open, that they would be fertile, that they would be rich, that they would be receptive, not shallow or hard, and that you would change us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.